podcast time.
Podcast time.
So, yo, we got Tommy Vex from Bad Wolves going to join us on the podcast today.
And we're going to take a look at the worst films of the last 10 years.
Plus the best Melissa McCarthy movies.
And also testing your sound bar with Melissa McCarthy. Diarrhea in 3D.
Roundtable 105 on radio.com, where Rock 105's Sean Stewart, Greg Rambin, and Boner, you know, sit at a round table and talk and stuff. Thanks for joining us as we revisit this week's nonsense. Yeehaw! From Chattanooga, Tennessee. This is Roundtable 105.
You know, it's the end of the year and we've got all the lists are coming out. And we're at the end of the year and we're also at the end of a decade.
That's crazy.
And I've got some...
End of the decade, man. New decade.
The worst movies of the decade. And,
nice.
And coming in at number six is a motion picture trilogy that we have discussed on Roundtable 105 before.
What's that?
Taken?
Yep, exactly.
Human Centipede?
Yep.
That was one of the best ones?
That was one of the worst ones.
What?
All right.
Where'd you get this list from? Worst list ever? Stupid.
Coming in at number 10 was something from 2010, Valentine's Day. Number 9 is This Means War. I think that had like Chris Pine and Reese Witherspoon playing spy versus spy, something like that, from 2012. Followed by Movie 43. From 2013. Number seven, the live action The Last Airbender. Nope. And at number six, released in 2010, 2011, and they took a long time to get the third one out, 2015, The Human Centipede Trilogy.
Hmm.
Followed by...
So there were four worst movies this decade.
Yeah, well, followed by The 50 Shades Trilogy.
That belongs on that.
Those are pretty terrible, yeah.
Yeah, number four was The Emoji Movie.
Never saw it.
Never saw that. Now, number three, I saw because I was excited. I said, here we go. This is Han Solo. It's James Bond. It's a Western. How can it be bad? It cannot possibly be bad. Number three for the decade in worst movies, Cowboys and Aliens.
You thought, how could that movie be bad? When you saw the title?
I thought it would be so bad that it was fun.
I was like,
that was pretty bad, though.
But it was terrible.
Right.
It was awful.
Who won?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Turned it off.
Yeah. I went to the movie theater to see it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow. You were the one.
I paid $7.50 to see that, you know, the old-timer special. Anyway, number two, The Collective Work of Adam Sandler.
Everything he's done.
That's great.
And number one, the worst movie of the last decade, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. Never saw it.
I did see it.
You did see it?
Yes, I did. It wasn't as bad as that list. No, I've seen worse. No, it was a little bit of fun.
Okay.
So
it was a little bit of fun.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Cowboys and Aliens did not have the fun factor.
No. That was just plain bad.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. The worst movies of the decade. Enjoy a bit of binging if you want to over the holidays watching that.
Because now that we're wrapping up the decade, you can watch movies in a different way than when we started the decade.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sit and binge them and stream them. You don't have to go to find a disc to pop it into something.
Yeah, right. No, all true.
It is crazy like how like quick like the technology is just moving. In the last decade, the things I was watching that movie Bridesmaids, and it was on like HBO.
Why?
Every day, and they were playing this whole...
Why? Stop. Why?
I got a sound bar, and I was testing out the sound, and I needed to...
So you wanted to hear what diarrhea sounded like in 3D
It
sound?
Was like at 1 in the afternoon. Ugh. I just threw on HBO, and I was like, oh, Bridesmaids. I was like, this is funny. Yeah. So they're calling each other on the phones, and they're like using like the cordless phones, no cell phones. I'm like, what the hell year was this movie made? This seems kind of recent. It was like 2011. I was like, first of all, it was wrong about how close I thought it was, but they're still using cell phones, like cordless
landlines.
Landlines, man. I'm like, in just a decade, it's like a landline doesn't even exist anymore. It's unless you're.
Do you have a landline number?
I haven't had a landline number.
Do you have a landline number?
I do not. No.
Neither do I. Yeah. It's
my parents both still have landlines.
My parents and I know that phone number off the top of my head. I could, you know, you could call like my mom right now on the landline.
My mom, I mean, it's the same phone number from when I was a kid.
Exactly.
So,
that's what I'm saying.
You know,
that's
it's been the same number since I was 8 years old.
That's the only phone number that I can just, you know, off the tip of my tongue, it just rolls off. Ask me my phone number, my cell phone number.
But I know my parents from 35 years ago.
Exactly.
When we moved down here, we got the EPB, you know, the triple play or whatever. You get the cable, the internet, and the phone, and they make you get the phone. And I was like, all right, we'll get it. But we never connected a phone. But we get telemarketers calling us. So we watch a TV at night. And on the screen, you get like a call ID. Like somebody's calling a number that somehow attached to us.
Somewhere. Technically, you do have a landline.
But it's not something we've ever have access to. I couldn't tell you anything about it more so than every once in a while on my TV. It's like a caller ID goes off. I'm like,
It interrupts your watching of The Bridesmaids.
It does.
Yeah, okay.
And it just seems like that's how, back to my story, that's how quick technology's moving, man.
The Bridesmaids?
Dude, it's a good movie. Melissa McCarthy's an underrated actress.
Oh, my God.
Bridesmaids? Like a hangover for chicks.
You're not a chick.
I'm being judged based on what.
Yes,
HBO
you are being judged.
I was trying to test out my soundbar, and I couldn't put.
But of all the things,
but you sat and continued to watch it.
It was a commercial on the baseball network. And I just hit like the next channel up, and it was like HBO. It was like something stupid as that. I didn't like seek after it, but
no. But you stayed.
Oh, I did
on purpose.
It was the airplane.
You made a decision.
Kristen Wiig's funny.
She's.
It's got some talented people in it. I stand by Bridesmaids. It's a great movie.
Now, but if you're going to test out a soundbar, you do it with
something cool.
Cowboys and aliens with lots of special effects and booms and swishes.
But it was an in-the-moment thing. It was like the first thing I had to be.
Yeah, you don't turn on them. Are you having your period on your... No!
What's that sound
like? I want boom!
Oh, it was the farting scene in Bridesmaids. I want to hear that sound. Through the soundbar. A little rumble and, was the Bridesmaids on one of the worst movies of the decade list?
No, it was not.
I'm getting crucified like it was the worst movie ever made.
No. No, it is not.
It wasn't
not.
Good.
It depends who you ask.
How did the Ghostbusters movie not get in there?
You hate Melissa McCarthy, don't you? That's what it is. Like, she was in that movie, too. Big fan.
Huh.
Have you seen the trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife? It's got a Stranger Things vibe.
Well, because it's got the kid from Stranger Things.
You would think that. It was getting that feeling, and then all of a sudden I saw Mike from Stranger Things, and I said, oh, okay, yeah, it does have that.
I did think, I don't know if they did this on purpose, but after the success of Stranger Things, if I'm the Ghostbusters people, I'm like, let's just call that Ghostbusters. Because that's all they're really good. Right. It's the same.
Did you any of you guys watch the movies that made us?
Oh, yes. I've watched all of them.
Yeah, me too.
I've watched all of them.
I did, too.
I have it queued up. I really want to watch a Die Hard one.
The Die Hard one was really good.
Die Hard one. I knew the information that they gave about Frank Sinatra. That is a fascinating bit. Spoiler alert for the movies that made us, Die Hard. They were contractually obligated to offer Frank Sinatra the role of John McClane.
What?
Well, because of the way they had structured the whole thing, it came out of a book that...
It was the sequel to a book.
Die Hard?
Yeah, called The Detective. And there was a movie in the late 60s called The Detective based on that book, in which Frank Sinatra was the star. And it did very well for Sinatra. And
so
then,
they wanted to make a sequel to the whole thing. And so this all takes, you know, years and years and years and whatnot. But they were obligated at that point. They had to go back and go... All right, Frank, you want this role? And, you know, they were, you know, please God, say no. And he was too old.
Exactly.
And he even, at the time, he's like, no, I'm too old for this crap. You know, no, I'm not doing it.
And the producers all sighed a big sigh.
Oh, God, thank you.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
And then they gave that line to Bruce Willis. I'm too old for this, sir. No, you know, that's the...
Murtaugh in Lethal Weapon.
I'm a really movie buff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's quote Bridesmaids.
If it wasn't in Bridesmaids, he's lost. If Melissa... Melissa McCartney didn't say it or fart.
Oh my God.
What a reboot that would be. I have got to see that though. Do they make any mention in that about Die Hard being a Christmas movie? Like they meant for that to happen, or is that glossed over?
They don't even mention that.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's not the whole thing. I thought that would be something they kind of.
No, I was also.
Because it's such a pop culture thing. Like, is it or isn't it? They'd be like, yeah. Die Hard was meant never to be a Christmas movie, but you guys decide to make it one. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, of course, they put Bruce Willis in it, and he had been in Moonlighting and all of that. And the interesting thing was the theater artwork that they put out that had originally had Bruce Willis on it. And I think a lot of people were like, this is going to suck. Mm-hmm. This is going to be terrible because Bruce Willis is in this. So they took him off.
Because he was coming off a run of bad movies.
Well, he had made one.
Yeah, Blind Date.
Yeah.
And Sunset. Two movies that had... It was a rom-com that did okay with Kim Basinger. And then Sunset, which I had great hopes for, too. It had James Garner, one of my favorite actors in it.
Now, Blind Date had some funny stuff. What's his name? The ex boyfriend of Kim. And don't give her alcohol. Don't let her drink. She goes crazy. and then every time somebody, he's like, why? So you can drill her? Those things were funny. Yeah. But otherwise, they thought the movie was going to suck. And so they took Bruce Willis off of the artwork, and then the movie explodes, and they're like, get him back on there. Get him back on there.
And at the time, he was the highest paid motion picture actor of all time. He had a hell of an agent, because the only thing that he had done was he was a bartender, and then suddenly, boom, he has Moonlighting, which led to those two minor film roles.
And then Die Hard.
And then Die Hard exploded.
So that launched him to the moon.
But they took a chance on him. He was the highest paid actor at $5 million for that role, and that was unheard of back in the 80s.
Yeah, so making Die Hard, he was now the highest paid actor in the world.
And he's like his third movie. He's like, well, I'm pretty good at this.
Yeah. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, and it's like one of those movies still now 30, 40 years later, it's still one of the movies that made us, and it was just some scrap together Frank Sinatra thing, and all of a sudden John McClane's in our lives, and you can't have a Christmas without him.
That's right. It's not
and
Christmas.
Still to this day, every time I fly across the country, I gotta squish my toes, you know, for the jet lag.
Your toes, sure.
I make fists with my toes, man.
So, now, I was watching TV a couple days ago, and I saw I think it's the Farm Bureau commercial, where the dude's sitting in the diner or whatever with his kid, and I'm like, I'll be damned, man. Every year he falls for this same scam. Because there she is saying, Bobby's still looking for a job. I'm working two jobs. And Emma broke her new glasses. I don't know what we're going to do. I'm like, didn't you fall for that last year and the year before? You gave her $100 every year. When are you going to learn?
Never. Maybe she'll try a new diner. New spot. Try something new this year, son.
You'll understand one day.
Yeah. One day you will. No, I won't. You gave her $100.
I could have got a present with that, Dad.
That could have gone a long way for a Nintendo Switch. Just saying, Dad.
What was wrong with, like, say, 20?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to give her 100.
No, 100.
Yeah.
Who's supposed to pay for lunch now?
Damn, man.
Speaking of bonuses.
You saw that story?
I saw that story.
Oh, dude.
$10 million.
Yeah.
$10 million in total average Christmas bonuses. Now,
$10 million. Split between 198 employees.
Exactly.
The lowest was $100, and it was based on seniority.
If the guy who started like a week ago.
Yeah, started last week, you get $100. I mean,
awesome still.
Yeah, great.
Guy who had been there 47
people get that
years.
Here, worked here for 2 decades.
Yeah, 200.
Wait, who's getting $100 bills? Wait a minute. I'm on a list.
To big box stores.
What?
And we're going to tax you on it.
Yeah. But the person who had been there for like 47 years got
$270,000.
Sorry, I didn't mean to stiff him. $20,000.
$270,000. Wow.
Work for that guy.
No kidding.
Like, that should be the standard now for Christmas bonuses for every company. Like,
I
make
think.
Your employees do good, give them. Y'all split $10 million at the company party. Perfect attendance, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, I would think. And then I'd get hosed because they fired me like 2 years. Well, you've only been here for like 5 minutes again.
Shit.
So
you go backwards. You I'd be like, dude, last year I got like a million. This year I got 100 bucks.
Sorry.
But that does show you, like in my brain, I was just thinking, I was like $10 million split amongst 198 people.
Right.
We were talking, big baseball fan, Garrett Cole signed a contract for one person to make $324 million over the span of 9 years. Like, and I know that's a lot of money, but when you're talking about splitting $10 million amongst 200 people and they're all super happy, $324 million, I can no longer even comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
He's just
F the Yankees.
We're the evil empire, Bone Man.
I know. You ready? Terrible. Getting worse.
Why is it getting worse? It's making
getting worse.
It's healthy for the game.
So in 9 years,
it's not healthy for the game.
It brings everybody else's salaries up.
No, it doesn't.
We're all about capitalism. Everybody gets paid a lot of money.
Doesn't work that way.
And we're all about winning the World Series.
Wrong again.
So Boner, if they had brought you back, if they had brought you back to Rock 105 and you signed a $324 million 9 year contract. At the end of that 9 years, would I ever see you again?
That's a stupid question.
I don't think you'd see
of course not. No.
You know, I thought about that.
In fact, I would probably only work for maybe a year.
Oh, really?
You know, look, I've got $36 million. What do I need?
I don't come back for.
Yeah, unless, you know, at the end, I'm like, you know, end of my year, I'm like, eh, that wasn't so bad. I guess I could maybe do another one. Fine. I'll double the amount of money I have. All right, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I work too. depending on my ridiculous amount of spending. Now that I have this kind of money, I'm spending stupid.
But you'd still be safe. Garrett Cole, you could retire after spring training, and you could probably be set for life.
Yeah, exactly.
like, I'm done.
Yeah,
shows up in April.
Yeah, I got a couple million.
I got a paper cut signing the contract. I'm out.
Yeah, I can't possibly play for another month.
Like, you're handing a contract. It's like, here, you want to work for 9 years? Like, oh, my gosh, 9 years? Can we make this like 3?
Yeah. No, you would never see me again.
Okay.
No, you would not.
Just wondering out loud.
But I think, is there any bill you would see? I'm on Team Boner's side. You're not going to see me? Are we going to see you?
That's just like if I won the lottery. You guys would not see me. You might get a Secret Santa gift, you know, from, you know.
No, wouldn't.
Yes, you would. Yes, you would.
You would not.
Yes, you would.
Boner who?
It would be postmarked from the Bahamas or, you know, Belize, something like that. But
Greg, don't forget about the little people.
No, I would not. When you win crazy money like that, you just
send everybody else lottery tickets. Good luck.
There you go. Good luck, man. I don't know.
I hope you're as lucky as me.
Maybe one day you can join me with your lottery tickets. So I got a lottery ticket at the Christmas party last weekend.
Oh, so was it a winner or no?
It was a ticket winner, and now I'm still sitting. I got to go to the gas station and get another ticket. So the cycles continue itself. So far, I've still got haven't lost yet.
Yeah.
That's why I haven't turned the ticket in, because my Christmas present is still kind of valuable.
Yeah.
And I still have a chance of turning it into $1 million for life.
That describes my career. Right. I haven't lost yet.
Sure you do.
Stuart, did you guys get anything cool in the Secret Sales? I forgot what you got.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Oh!
Don't even want to talk about it.
My ranch dressing stocking did not come in.
Yeah.
Have you gotten it yet?
Yeah, I got it yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Awesome.
Is it?
It comes with this. First of all, it's 52 ounces. It's full of ranch dressing. It's got pictures of pizza on it, pictures burgers on it, fries, salad, like anything you can do with ranch. Mm-hmm. It also has this little dispenser. It's got this little weight so you can put on top of your mantle, hang on the mantle.
Oh.
It's got this dispenser at the bottom so you can just put ranch all over your fireplace.
Nice.
It comes with some dips inside the box.
Perhaps you can have that there and burn your KFC Kentucky Fried Chicken smelling fire log. And
this is how fat we are. This is great. I love this. I got a KFC log, some ranch on the fireplace. I ain't got to get off the couch.
And my queso candles.
Like, yes.
Yeah, now we've got to really get the chicken wing wreaths going.
That's it. Like, everything should just be edible. Like, we should be able to eat everything. Like, you just want to sit there,
it's like Willy Wonka land.
Yeah, exactly. You
know what I mean? Snozzberry tastes like Snozzberry.
Like, yes. That's a good looking table.
Like, Starbucks was selling like edible cups, I read a couple weeks ago. I'm like, that's genius. I use paper plates because I hate doing dishes. One step further, I can just eat off. You take spaghetti, fold up like a burrito.
Edible cups?
Edible cups, yeah.
No kidding.
Just eat the utensils.
Do they get sticky?
I don't know.
I think they're like a bamboo. not a bamboo.
Oh,
but,
good.
But
I want to eat bamboo.
Of that sort. Just a step up. It's sort of like eating a Triscuit. I don't know.
I just want Starbucks. Like, you're like,
it tastes just like shredded wheat.
Exactly.
So a couple weeks ago, we had a bunch of bands in town.
Yes, we did.
Maybe heard of them. Five Finger Death Punch.
Mm-hmm.
Fire from the Gods.
Yeah. 3 Days Grace.
3 Days Grace.
Yeah.
What was cool, each one of those bands did give us some time on site to, you know, chat with them about their upcoming, you know, 2020, including Bad Wolves, which was super funny about the Bad Wolves interview, which was fun. Tommy Vex gave us some time. But we were getting ready to go on the bus, and we have our equipment. It's the three of us, and Tyler's with us, helping us produce. Like, only three of you guys can go on. You know, the bus is, we got too many people on there. Like, all right, you know, you respect them.
Mm-hmm.
So Boner's like, okay.
Good.
But you got to do the behind the scenes Five Finger Death Punch tour. So it worked out.
Yeah. You know, wandering around the stage. And there was a point where they were trying to do a line check on, I don't know, one of those bands. And their guitar cord was all wound up. So I reached down and, you know, tried to help him. And Duke came over, you know, we're trying to do a line check here.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to help you. You're
Teamsters
welcome.
Teamsters don't like help.
Like,
stay in your lane? Like, all right.
I'm like, oh, very good.
Very good. What is he, probably like 17?
We're trying to do a line check here. I'm like, your cord was wound up. I'll just help you for 3 seconds.
Should have actually bumped him off the stage. Be like, my bad, sorry. I didn't see that stage fell off right there.
And then I hit him, and then I kicked him, and beat him over the head with one of the guitars.
But at least you found something to do while we were interviewing Tommy on his super packed tour bus. And
then I stole some Five Finger Death Punch picks.
Take that.
How's your line check now?
Yeah. But you wish you had a pick. You jerk.
Sounded good, man. It sounded great inside. You did a great job.
Yeah, thanks.
You're absolutely welcome.
Yeah, no, I...
Well, you were doing that. We were talking to Tommy on his empty tour bus.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, but it's, you know, rock star life. You can't have too many people too close to you.
No, I understand.
There's got to be plenty of elbow room forever. So Greg and I jumped on the bus. Tommy's eating trail mix with a spoon.
How are you guys?
Sit over there drinking. Is that coffee in that cup over there?
No, I got tea.
A little tea?
Yeah, actually, I'm allergic to coffee. You guys are getting all the weird info on me. I hate almonds. And cilantro tastes like soap to me, and I'm allergic to coffee.
Wow. Oh, boy.
Now, you know you're kryptonite.
Yeah.
Want to take out Tommy Vex, get some cilantro, some coffee.
Cilantro and almonds.
Or a tight sweatshirt.
You know? Yeah, what's going on? Your arm's in a sling over there, man.
Yeah, I tore my tricep. Well, no, not my tricep. I partially re-tore an old injury, which is the ligament that attaches to my elbow. Not the ligament, the tendon. And then sprained the surrounding ligaments on my elbow. So it's pretty intense. Like my arm is already like handicapped a little bit, my left arm. It's shorter.
Oh shoot.
Yeah, so it was like when the song we have Remember When is like about, you know, my twin brother like broke into my house and he actually killed me, he beat me to death with a crowbar, but he did break my arm in the process. And when it healed in the cast, they put the cast on wrong. So I actually had cartilage damage and joint damage from being in the cast, the incorrect setting. And so I rehabilitated it, but I lost range of motion. And so the other day I was like, I was not paying attention to the time, and we had like 10 minutes to get ready to get on stage. And I like ran in the back and ran to pull my sweatshirt off and put my show shirt on. And I hyperextended my elbow.
Yikes.
And it popped.
Oh.
So yeah, so it was just like, and it's like, it's happened before. It's happened like about 7 years ago. And so I already knew. I was like, no. Not now.
The show must go on because you're still performing tonight. You guys.
Yeah, we haven't. No, we didn't miss any shows. I tore my elbow and I went on stage. I played the show and then I got in an Uber and went to the hospital.
Nice.
Couldn't even get the rider to drive me to the hospital. They had to go get Zoltan's M&M's or something. I was like, oh, okay, guys.
So is this like surgery is going to be required? the tour is over? Or is this something you're just going to deal with for life?
The doctor said I need to have surgery, but I'm going to look into. I have an orthopedic surgeon in LA, and I also have a couple of like sports nutrition and wellness medicine people who, and my girlfriend's like a celebrity like fitness trainer and does rehabilitation stuff for people. Mm-hmm. So she called a couple people in, and I'm going to have some consultations, and hopefully I don't need. Yeah, hopefully I don't need surgery and. Because I don't want to be like in a cast on the Megadeth Five Finger Tour in Europe. I'm just like, no, I don't want it. It's not
showing weakness.
You would not brutal. Well, Hetfield did it when he got blown up. Exactly. But, you know, yeah. I'm not Hetfield, okay? Yeah.
I don't know. We could create an interesting backstory as to how it happened.
I would have to. Yeah, I'd have to make
Zoltan.
Yeah,
I'd have to.
Yeah, Zoltan threw me in an arm bar while we were. Yeah, and then I'm like, it just happens, you know.
Yeah.
I wish it was a more interesting story.
Or like you heard it when you were throwing axes like a Viking over at Valkyrie.
Yeah,
there you go.
I got the first throw, I got it in, and then never again. So I looked super cool. I was like, yeah! And then...
Should have just stepped away then and dropped and be like, that's
yeah,
it.
I should have... That's
so good at this, I need to do it once.
Yeah. Use the... Like, I'm left-handed too, so I had to use my right arm, and I was
you
like,
get out there. Yeah. That was fun, dude. You
yeah. I was... Listen, I like that. I'm like...
Had you ever thrown an axe before?
No,
on
not...
On purpose?
Like, no, I have never. I've never thrown an axe like not trying to murder somebody.
That's yeah.
Definitely thrown. No.
So he hates cilantro, almonds, and
is
he
an
has
axe
a murderer.
Yeah. Possibly. No, I've like chopped wood before and stuff, but I've never like thrown axes. So that was fun. And
yeah, the guy who thought of that idea is like, man, I'm chopping wood. What is it? I wonder if I just threw this against the fence.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna open a bar and do this.
Sort of like, a Tom Sawyer approach to it. Yeah.
Oh,
paint
yeah.
this. Paint this.
How
this,
can
this
I
fence?
Make money off of this? How can I get these people to shed my wood?
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, why not?
So, congratulations to you guys, man. The new album with the Killing Me Slowly out on the radio right now, doing very well here in Chattanooga.
Yeah, man. It's climbing the charts. It's pretty cool. It's very exciting.
You know,
it's very exciting.
It is, man. You had all the success, of course, with Zombie, and that kind of, you know, put you guys, you know, out there. And I thought it was really cool what you know, with the charitable donations, what you do with some of the money with that, giving it back to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we gave all of our, like, all of the proceeds that
you
we
all back.
That we would have gotten. Yeah, we, the band, donated to the kids.
That's nice.
And, it, and they still get it. So every time people buy it or download it, the money goes into a foundation for them. So it's pretty cool.
No, it was really cool, man. It was an incredible cover by you guys. You guys did a great job with it. I'm sure you've heard that. You know, you don't need me to tell you. It was awesome.
Oh, no, thanks. It's funny because it almost didn't make the album. It almost didn't make the first album because I wasn't really sure it was good enough. And the whole purpose of sending it to Dolores was initially because we wanted her to, like, sign off on it. And if she liked it and said something nice about it, we would be like, okay, cool. Because that song has been covered a lot and no one's been able to touch the original.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel that we were even close. I think we did our own kind of humble rendition, but she loved it so much that it convinced me, and I was like, okay.
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah, so.
Now, was that like your go-to, like before, you know, your, you know, going like this, like at a karaoke bar, are you like Zombie guy? Like, is that
no.
your go-to song?
No, kids call me Zombie Man now, though. All the little kids, yeah, they don't know. They're like, I still get videos, like, it's funny, like, on Instagram, on my Instagram, I still get videos of people doing Zombie, and it's either strippers dancing on stripping to it, which is
interesting,
is like strange. Yeah, for a moment we were like the Nine Inch Nails closer of the strip clubs of the whole world. I mean, we went to strip club, like we would be
Never
off in Europe
off.
And yeah, and we'd go to the strip club and we're like, it would just start playing. I'm like, man, this is awkward. They're like, they're here. Like we took over a strip club one night. And they like let us DJ and everything, and they just like let us do whatever we wanted. We were I think we were in
Zombie, the strip club anthem.
Yeah, in like Prague or something, or Belgium. I don't remember, but it was one of our wild nights. But and then the other videos that I get sent are little kids. Little kids love Zombie, and it's amazing. They like play air guitar, and they bang their heads, or they're like either in their car or they're like at home on the TV, and they like do interpretive dances and all this stuff. And it's just like, It's amazing.
Well, not too long ago, a friend of mine on Facebook, it's funny you mentioned that. It's been about a week and a half, and she took a video of her son coloring at the kitchen table, and he's just mindlessly coloring, and he's singing Zombie.
Really?
I wish I could find that Zombie quickly to show you, but a lot of kids love that song.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really, you know, I think to me, Dolores and the Cranberries had a way of, like, their melodies were so there's so much emotional connectivity to them, so it kind of did its job for us, you know what I mean? And so, you know, it's for us, it's really cool that our band gets to be associated with an intergenerational hit like that, and to have fans and, like, people come to the show with their kids, and, you know, from being 4 years old to 84 years old, we met people who were like, we love you guys, and we're like, this is awesome, man.
You cross that generation, your dad comes and did the song, and kids can. It's like, yeah, all right, like,
yeah. So it's like, it's fun time, family fun.
That's awesome, man. So yeah. Tommy Vex, Bad Wolves in Chattanooga tonight, UTC McKenzie Arena. You ever been through Chattanooga before? First time here?
No, I think I've been here before. I can't remember when. I've been in a bunch of different bands, so I've definitely, I think I came through here with Snot maybe like in 2007, what? Something like that.
Was it the arena you played somewhere else?
No, it was like a club show. Yeah, I think we were opening up for Mudvayne or something like that, maybe.
Might have been Track 29.
Yeah,
that sounds familiar. Yeah, and So it's just been a while since I've been here. So, and it's, you know, Bad Wolves is here. It's
sweet, man. We appreciate the time. We appreciate you coming through. Appreciate the music for the radio station and everything, dude, man.
No, thank you, guys. We really appreciate it. It's a big deal. I've been saying this on stage a lot, and it's something that me and Zoltan talk about. And, you know, for us, you know, the nation dropped, and it was the number two most downloaded album on iTunes across every musical genre. And eventually we got moved out of the way by, like, Kanye West and stuff. But
who?
Exactly. But it's important. Like, the thing that I always tell people is that I still buy records. I get free albums. Every Five Finger Death Punch album I paid for. Every Deftones album, every Faith No More record, every Slipknot, I buy albums still. And I do that because, you know, it's like, it's the car, like, I don't drink anymore, so it's like, if every, like, 12-pack I would have bought, I could afford an album, you know? And so it's, an album will last me longer than a beer at a, you know, at a festival beer is like $10 sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what happens is that it's like voting. It really is. And it's like when rock fans buy music, they keep the genre alive. It's like, it's funny because I've been touring my whole life, and, you know, we play arena shows now, and we go out with Five Finger and Breaking Benjamin and Shinedown, or, you know, we go out to see Slipknot and Korn, and the shows are sold out, but the mainstream entertainment industry, and they don't know, they think rock is dead, and it's just hilarious to me, but they think that because they don't have these experiences, they base it on numbers, and so they think that, you know, they see all these, like, you know, I gotta watch my language, but there's a lot of this, I call it clown music, you know, like a lot of pop music. I think hip-hop has popular hip-hop has turned into, it's absolute garbage from what it was when I grew up listening to it. And, you know, it's just like, even in pop music, like, these people can't even read. Like, we shouldn't make illiterate, like, we should be, you know, people.
Here's a thesaurus and a dictionary.
Well, if you're illiterate and you're ignorant, you should be educated and not celebrated. Mm-hmm. It's almost like we live in a time where you should be, you know, the least talented you have, the more relatable you are, and so that's who people gravitate towards.
You're dumb, so I'm going to be a dumb person.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't want, like, oh, there's like a jealousy thing, you know, like, why are the Kardashians famous? Like, nobody really even knows.
We don't know.
You know? Yeah, because they, like, had sex videos. Like, that's how you get famous now. And, you know, it's just kind of like, our culture is a culture of meaning. You have bands like Linkin Park and Soundgarden and, you know, Nirvana and Foo Fighters and Guns N' Roses and Pantera and Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath. Everybody, these artists who are writing songs that are meaningful, talking about, the struggle of life, of day-to-day life for the working class people and for people who care about themselves. They care about their family. They care about their struggle. They care about this country. And, you know, our voice gets smaller and smaller when people don't buy records. So we're in competition, you know, to represent, you know, our genre with genres of music that people who are not too intelligent are supporting financially. So I could go off on a tangent about if I have to hear one more Cardi B song, I'm going to blow my brains out.
I'm like, chirp, chirp.
I know. It's like, you guys, you made a multi-platinum artist out of an illiterate stripper who's like, who like openly, admittedly, like used to drug clients in the strip club and rob them, and you—that's who you make famous. Like,
that looks good on a resume.
Yeah, sure.
Good on social media.
Yeah. Why not? Well, there you go. Yeah, kill yourself. Well, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Well, thank you so much, Sean. And I are about to go make a sex video.
Yeah,
and
do it
after
up.
We do that, we're gonna go see you on
cool.
stage.
All right. Well, just make sure you don't make the sex video on the stage because I gotta perform there.
Yeah. I brought wet wipes.
Slippery.
Wet wipes. All right. Backstage slut 17. Yeah. Here we go.